ghost stories online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, it is open lines. We take your calls. Real ghost stories from real people is what I call it, because that was the name of the original episodes of, I did that kind of created this whole thing years ago. And some real ghost stories from real people today at Real Ghost Stories Online. We managed to kind of see a movie over the weekend, and I say kind of see a movie over the weekend. We've talked about it a little bit as far as like, ooh, I really can't wait to see that movie.
Yeah.
And then we saw it, kind of saw it, and it kind of sucked. And I'll talk you what movie that was in just a little bit. It is it is ghost related, very much so, or paranormal related. And yeah, I mean, it's just our opinion. It's up to you. I don't know. I had some interesting observations on what we saw. I mean, just on what we do here on a daily basis, and then seeing it. I don't know. Well, we'll talk about that. But before you go and see another ghostly movie, unless you're planning on seeing one within the next 50 minutes, hold off.
Okay?
Because there's some important information you should probably know. So we'll talk about that here at Real Ghost Stories Online today. And also, I did see something earlier today that actually was pretty cool. If you like imagery of abandoned places, and places that, this is a place actually that we've talked about on the show in the past. We might have even had some stories about it. You'll be the one to refresh me on that. A certain asylum, but a really cool mini documentary that was done with some really neat imagery up online, and I'll tell you what it is in case you want to find it, where you can find it, in all that in a little bit here at Real Ghost Stories Online. So there you go.
There you go.
Fun stuff for everyone. Let's kick off the show today with a caller, and our first call today is going to be coming into us from Peter at 855-853-4802. Hi, Peter. Let's hear your real ghost story.
Hey guys, this was Peter Milady. I called a couple of times before. I think you did use one of my stories on your show. I was the one who called and said his grandmother was possibly related to witches over in Scotland, over in Dundee. So that was that. But first of all, I want to apologize. I called a couple of times before, and couple of things came up when I was talking or trying to tell a story, so apologize for that. But anyway, here we go. This one happened back in 2004 when I was deployed over in Iraq. I was a Navy corpsman. I was stationed with the Marines at Camp Pendleton. This was took place in Fallujah in November 2004. As you possibly remember, it was a pretty bloody time. You probably saw it on the news. Second battle for Fallujah. Like I said, it was on the news, all over the news, and so on like that. So there was a lot of things going on. But this one, what happened was, we were trying to get inside a house in Fallujah. There was insurgents basically holed up inside. We had lost a few Marines trying to get into this house, so it wasn't good. Let me put it this way. We were outside. We were trying to get inside. And then to look to our left, I think it was, and we saw somebody dark behind a wall. Now, we knew there was nobody there. And we sent somebody over there to check it out. Nothing. Nobody there. Came back. And we're waiting there a little bit longer. And we saw what it looked like. It looked kind of like a dark figure, shadow. It just looked like somebody down behind the wall. But whenever we went and sent somebody there to check it out, there was never anybody there. We knew there was none of our people over there, and we were pretty sure there was no insurgents over there because it was close to us, but not too close, but we knew where the insurgents were before. So we were pretty sure it wasn't there. So that was that. like I said, every time we sent somebody over there, there's never anybody there. And this was during the day, okay? So anyway, we're still trying to get inside this house. We could not get in. Still with bad guys. We had a couple of Marines get killed, like I said, trying to get in there. So it wasn't really a good day. And we're waiting, and it was a clear day. I will say that. It was cold. Blue skies, no clouds, and this is an important thing here. All of a sudden, down the road, we saw what looked like, we described as a shadow on the road, like a cloud had passed over the sun. And, you know, sometimes you'll see them on a day. You'll see the clouds when they pass over the sun, it'll cause a shadow on the ground, and you'll see it moving. Well, that's kind of what it looked like, but it was more like a shadow kind of expanding or creeping up the road more than anything else. And the other thing that was really weird about it was there was no clouds in the sky that we could see. So there was really nothing there to pass over the sun to give a shadow on it. And there was no direct buildings in line that would cause that type of shadow or cause anything to move, because, you know, a building would move like that. But what happened was is this shadow seemed to come right up the road, came right over us, came right up to the building where, as I said, we'd lost a few Marines. And all of a sudden, it just stayed right there on that building. And just everything went darker, I would say. I mean, it didn't go black, but it just went darker, like the shadow was sitting on top of it. And as we looked at it, it almost looked like it was like a thin, like, shadow stretching up the street. You could almost see it was like a finger or a stick pointing up there, and it stopped right on that building. Now, one of the guys that was with me, he was Pacific Islander descent, Fiji, Maori, Hawaii Islander, that kind of area. And I always remember when he turned around and he said to me, we were all looking at the shadow thinking, what the fuck, where the hell did that come from, and everything else. And I remember he turned around and he said, that's death. And that was it. And just that, the shadow just went and disappeared. So whether that was paranormal, whether it was death or anything else, it's weird that the shadow stopped on that house and any other ones where we lost Marines and so many people who died that day. But, you know, and there was a lot of death, obviously, in that time. Fallujah, a lot of evilness in that time as well. So, who knows? But anyway, that's my story. Hope you guys like that. Again, still love the show. Listen to it all the time. And that's it. Appreciate it, guys. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you for the story and calling in and sharing that experience with us. I'd have to imagine that there's a lot of dark energies and entities roaming around that area of the world.
Do you think even afterwards, or do you think just during battle?
I think before, after. It's just because it's a region that has seen so much continuous conflict for thousands of years on end.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, nervous energy, sad energy, you know, very motivated, passionate energy from people on both sides of the battle. Just constant, you know, just not level.
Sure.
Even keel energy. Just very, you know, I would imagine that is just a very big recipe for paranormal activity.
Yeah. I could see that.
You know, I mean, does it spark up when there's active battle situations going on? I would guess likely so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just because that's, you know, when you're going to have more of it at a plateau there when that stuff is going on, And then plus, if it is like an active battle situation, you have all the machinery and all the, you know, activity going through there that I would think almost would help, you know, be conductive and conducive for activity to make itself known.
Sure.
But, yeah, not an area that I'd ever really want to go ghost hunting at. Ever.
No, I don't think so.
I think part of the spookiness, I think, too, I guess, I mean, not only because it's ghosts, but if you're coming from, like, the Western world, it's a culture that a lot of us don't understand mm-hmm. and don't know a whole lot about. So even without ghosts, if you're, intimidated at all by just not knowing what's going on around you, that in itself is intimidating with the living.
Sure.
You know, and it's nothing against the people that are there. It's just if you don't speak the language, you don't know the traditions, you don't know the culture, it can be an intimidating thing and a scary thing. More or less if you have a ghost coming at you with whatever is going on that you really don't understand then.
Yeah, I could see that. And I could see you being more of a target too because you're having all these anxieties
sure.
and fears and everything going on.
Yeah, and it's a foreign land to, mm-hmm. to a lot of the folks in the Western world, but it is a foreign land.
Yeah.
So I could see it being even that just adding another level of anxiety
mm-hmm.
to that whole thing there. So thank you for that call. We really do appreciate it. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We'd absolutely love to hear them. So over the weekend, I finally convinced Jenny to sit down and watch a movie that I had been looking forward to, a documentary movie that I've been looking forward to and thinking, oh, this looks really good. I saw some of the trailers for it. We've talked about it on the show a little bit, saying, hey, this looks like it'd be good. I have sent out several interview requests to the people who make it, and I'd never heard boo back.
Okay.
I don't. Maybe I would feel a little different if I'd heard something back, because I could have, I don't know. But I didn't. So anyhow, the movie's called The Nightmare, and it's about sleep paralysis.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I should phrase it this way. The fact that we talk about these things and get some pretty extreme stories on our show on a regular basis may play a little bit into my perception or take on the movie.
Okay.
Had I not heard these stories on a daily basis, knew nothing about the topic, maybe it would be a little more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But quite honestly, it was kind of a boring movie.
It was. Now, somebody who's not an avid listener
sure.
of ours might find that fascinating that that kind of thing even goes mm-hmm. on. But
yeah.
for anybody who listens to maybe even like 50% of our shows,
yeah.
it's not new stories. It's stuff
yeah.
that we talk about every day. And that was the first time I ever sat down to watch any kind of horror
yeah.
type film.
Yeah.
And I was bored. I was Pinteresting during
yeah.
it.
I got to say, I mean, we got about, I'd say, 40 minutes into it, and we just said, okay, we're going to watch something else.
Yeah.
Because it was like, I don't know. They're just, the stories were, I hate to say this, but it's like the type of story, I believe a lot of the people have these experiences, sleep paralysis experiences, mm-hmm. but from the parts I saw, I was like, these would be like the stories that after we read them, we'd be like, okay, moving on to the next one, because they didn't seem that exciting. Unless
yeah.
we missed the climactic end, but it was quite a bit to sit through to get to the climactic end if it wasn't all that great. But
it seemed like it was well put together.
Yeah.
And, they did a good job in that sense. But, that it's kind of like, okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
the trailer made me really excited, thinking this is going to be a really spooky, scary documentary, and then I just by a half hour was like, I was ready to start Pinteresting, and I don't Pinterest.
Yeah, I know.
So sorry, but I just thought we'd share that. I don't know. It just wasn't our cup of tea. I think it's because I think our level of the bar that we have for a spooky story
mm-hmm.
may just be too high.
Yeah,
and I'll say that it was a really. Cinematography-wise, it was done pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was good, but storytelling-wise, I was like, yeah. So.
And that was the second strikeout you'd had that week.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I saw Annabelle,
uh-huh.
and that sucked, too.
I did not watch it.
Yeah, I finally got a chance to sit down and see that, and I was ready to Pinterest through that, too. It just wasn't, I mean, I don't know. I think it just, it strayed so far from reality of the story that it was just like, okay. Whereas The Conjuring was much more in line with a real story. Now, that doll Annabelle obviously exists.
Yeah.
But I just felt the story was like, okay, this is really going far, far off the path of what this real story was. Anyway, I'm looking forward to The Conjuring 2, though, which I believe is going to be about the Ingfield haunting. Or Ingfield Poltergeist?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, and that, I believe, is going back to the original cast from The Conjuring. As far as Ed and Lorraine Warren go, it's the woman that's in Bates Motel. What is her name?
Vera Farmiga.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think Patrick Wilson?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody's name. But anyway.
It's the same couple, or the same two characters that played Ed and Lorraine in the first one.
So that should be good.
Yeah.
And hopefully they keep that pretty well on track, and I think it's the same director, so that should be good. There you go. There's your movie review for the day from Tony and Jenny. All right. All right. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Let's go to April. Hi.
Hola. This is Ashley, and I'm calling from Lincoln, Nebraska, and I've been a binge listener since this past April. I was really wanting to get caught up on all of the episodes before I called in, but I was listening to an episode from back in February, and you guys had asked the question if anybody had seen a ghost of an inanimate object besides a train and boat variety. And now this kind of leads me to my story that I was calling about. Just a little forewarning, my story sucks. It's probably the worst ghost story I have, but it's just an icebreaker for my better story. So anyway, when I was about 3, I lived in a small town, and my mom would take me downtown to visit my grandma while she was working. And my grandma worked in this really old building, and by old, I mean it was like built in the 1800s, somewhere around there, early 1900s, so it's very old. And when we would go there, like, I would just kind of explore and hang around doing kid things because I was 3. And I found some stairs and decided to go upstairs. And I got up there, and upstairs was kind of a storage room, I guess is what you would call it. There were like boxes of files and just like random crap all over. But anyway, there was a vacuum there, and not just any vacuum, but a rug doctor. So I became friends with this rug doctor, and not that, you know, in the sense that I was playing with its attachments. It was more that the rug doctor was playing with me. It talked to me. It moved. I don't know what we did, but we were playing together. And that's basically my story. And I've spent the past 25, 24 years being mocked for this story by my parents, my siblings, basically my family, just telling me that, you know, I was making things up, I was having an imaginary friend, and just ridiculing me for believing that this vacuum was alive. But I wasn't the kid that had imaginary friends. Like, I could never make something up and have it stick and just know that that, I just knew it was real. Also, as I got older and a little bit wiser, so I was 5, I knew it was a ghost. Thanks to my dad, I was pretty obsessed with Ghostbusters, so I knew that was a ghost, and it wasn't fake. So anyway, that's my really lame ghost story for now. I promise my next stories will be better. In fact, one of them is actually an ongoing story at the moment, and it involves Sam, the Shadow Man. So, Sam, if you're here and you want to say hi.
Hi.
Yeah, maybe not. I don't know. Maybe he's chilling somewhere else. But anyway, I can't wait to either call or write back in later. And peace up, A-Town down.
Think I got anybody to jump there when
I think we all knew it was you.
Everybody's waiting for the ghost to speak. Hi. So, a haunted rug doctor.
You know, I think I think just about any object could probably become haunted if
sure.
if the right entity attached to it.
Those can be pretty noisy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's... I'm not mocking her by any means. I think that's interesting and it makes sense. You know, and in all honesty, when you look at an object that is haunted or carpet cleaning appliance that is haunted...
Be nice.
It's just kind of funny sounding. It's not necessarily the rug doctor that's the ghost. There's something that is manipulating and using the rug doctor to interact.
Well, what I was wondering the whole time was the rug doctor just moving around or was it running? I mean, was it turned on or was it just being
like the sound of the motor going and all that?
Yeah, like it would be actively, you know, sucking things up, or was it just moving like you would push a vacuum that's not turned on?
Yeah, more importantly, was it cleaning anything? Was it doing its job?
Well, but I don't know about you, but were you scared of the vacuum cleaner when you were a little kid?
I wasn't as scared of the vacuum. I just didn't like the noise. I just thought the noise was annoying and I didn't like the loudness, but I had no problem going over to the vacuum and like playing with the vacuum and stuff, but I never was like afraid of the object. It was the sound that it emitted it.
Well, and see, I think most kids aren't able to distinguish the two.
Okay.
For me, yes, looking back, yeah, it was the sound. It was the loudness of the vacuum that I didn't like, but just the association of the machine itself made me afraid of it. And so I think it's interesting that here is a small child where this vacuum is doing things, you know, mm-hmm. and preying upon her worst fears. So it sure. makes me think that there's something else going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it just happened to pick that object.
Sure.
And, you know, I can understand that being a difficult story to tell other people and for other people to comprehend.
Mm-hmm.
But we talk about things like this all the time. So
sure.
we're able to see past the vacuum that was playing with you.
Well, the thing is, if you changed up the object to something else other than a rug doctor and it was being manipulated, and I'm trying to make an example, the television, you know, there was a television that would turn on and off by itself or something. It could be much more apt and sympathetic to, wow, that's really creepy. That must have really scared you. But because it's a rug doctor, it just, you know, it's kind of plays for whatever reason. I don't know why. It tickles my funny bone a little bit more than somebody saying the television was turning on and off.
Sure.
You know, or a microwave or something. Although microwave is a little more funny, though, too. I don't know why there's these different levels of humor with whatever object is being manipulated.
Well, maybe whatever was manipulating it realized if this little kid goes and tells its parents.
Yeah, they're going to think they're crazy.
Well, they're going to think that, and they're going to think, oh, you're just afraid of the vacuum.
Yep.
All kinds of kids are afraid of the vacuum.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, here's a way that I can get around that.
Mm-hmm. It's a smart rug doctor.
No, whatever's running it is bad.
Yeah. Interesting story. I'd love to hear more of your stories, so please do share them with us. And sometimes it's interesting when you have stories like this, like you get that one, and then you get ones later in life from the individual of what happened. Sometimes you can connect some dots here as far as what the entity is, and you know, sometimes it's the same one.
Sure.
And sometimes they don't even realize it. We just kind of find little tidbits here and there in the stories where it's like, what about this? This kind of correlates over there. So anyway, please do call in and share your other stories. We'd love to hear them. 855-853-4802 is our number. And by the way, the new EPP website up and running, in case you are unaware. And lots of great content up there. Exclusive video content, Ask Tony and Jenny videos going up. And of course, our documentary Spirits in the Air, that whole thing is up there. And all of the past EPP episodes, they are all there. And there's going to be even more archived episodes going up. The ones that have disappeared from iTunes are going to be posted up there very soon as well. So lots of really, really good stuff. You supporting the show, being an EPP, is what keeps the show on the air. Sign up to be one at realghoststoriesonline.com. Just click become an EPP and you get access to all of that stuff. Let's go to Akita.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name is Akia. I live in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and been listening to your show for a while, and I really like it. I have quite an interest in the paranormal, and just wanted to call and tell you guys my personal experiences in my life. I've only had two. They're really short, not too interesting, but still they were paranormal experiences. And the first one, I was only a few weeks old, and I used to live out in Estancia. And when I was a baby, I was put in a separate room from my parents, and I would always wake up screaming and crying. My mom would was saying to me, and she went in there all the time to rock me back to sleep and stuff. And she said all the time, she just felt this weird, like, she felt like there was some, she just felt creeped out in the room, like some evil presence or something. She said it felt like a child had, like, died or something like that. She wasn't able to tell. It just, she was always uncomfortable in that room. And eventually, they moved me out of there, and she never had a problem again. And so that happened at my first house, and that was my first experience, although I don't remember it. And then my second experience was when I was about 9 years old. I was going over to a friend's house, and this weird feeling I always get, like, there was a weird feeling I always got when I was in any empty room by myself. Like, if I was just by myself in a room, I just got this really dark feeling, like some malice creature was there, and I just was very uncomfortable, and I never wanted to be alone in a room. And then one day we were all playing outside, and then I had to go inside to use the bathroom. No one was inside, and the second I walked in the door, I was super creeped out. The whole house felt like that. It was creepy. I just couldn't explain it. Nothing happened where it hurt me. It just creeped me out. I just didn't want to be there alone at any time. Yeah, those are my stories. I know they're not interesting, but just wanted to call them in and say that I love your guys' show. It rocks. I would like to become an ETP soon. Not one yet, but I will soon. All right. Thanks for hearing my story. Bye.
Akia, thanks for calling, and thank you in advance for when you do become an EPP. You will love it. Sometimes you just get those feelings.
Yeah, and I'm not surprised since his mom got that feeling before in that room where his crib was and everything, and it was so overwhelming they had to move it out.
Ever been in a place where you get that feeling?
Yeah.
Where?
Well, I don't go there on a regular basis, but I've told this story a number of times. Ellis Island.
I hate
Ellis Island. I'm sorry. Anybody who's offended by that, but I can't go there.
Well, sure. I mean, and half of the island is still cordoned off. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just old buildings. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of, energy that that was there. I had one place where I felt really weird, and I don't get the weird anxious feeling when I'm in the shower.
Yeah.
Like, ever.
Okay.
Like, I feel pretty safe in the shower. But there was one shower I had in one apartment that I really just did not like.
Okay.
And I don't know why. It was just a regular old tub shower.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. It was my second apartment. And it was not like super creepy. It wasn't the nicest of apartments, but it wasn't like horrible either.
Mm-hmm.
It had like some older tiling in there that, you know, probably could use some new tile work. But it was just enough to really just be creepy.
Yeah.
And
did you feel like you're being watched?
I just kind of feel like there was somebody out there.
Mm.
I mean, I did end up putting like extra locks on my door, my deadbolts, because a deadbolt was a joke. It was kind of like a closet door. So I got some of those, like the hotel bolts, and I put like three of them on this door.
Just the bathroom door?
No. This is just to the main part of the house, like to the entry of the house. And I did that because, like, the secure entry downstairs wasn't all so secure. Mm-hmm. Like, people would constantly prop the thing open and then never shut it. And none of it was ever enforced. And I didn't feel like my door to my apartment was all that safe either. So I put those extra things up. Not that it would stop anything, but it would make enough noise, I think, to wake me up if somebody was trying to get in.
Sure.
But other than that, I don't know. And I never had that weird feeling again.
Huh.
At first, like when I started feeling that way, I'm like, oh, is this going to be like some anxiety thing that I'm going to deal with now for the rest of my life? Am I like developing a phobia to showers?
No.
Because I was about like 21 or so at the time, 22 around there. And I don't know. Yeah, after I moved, just fine.
Yeah, it must have just been something in there.
Just the right place, the right time. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was creepy. And that's my shower story.
Thanks for sharing.
No problem. Happy to share. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. We would absolutely love to hear it. Let's go to Ariel. Hi.
Hi, Tony. Hi, Jenny. This is Errol. I'm calling from North Carolina, and I'm actually calling to tell you about a story that took place with myself and my two friends back when I was an undergrad during spring break. This story, I'm just going to go ahead and just say it. Thinking about it still kind of creeps me out a little bit. My friends and I we'd rented a convertible, and we were coming back very late from a club. And we were on a very long, dark, lonely country road in Virginia Beach. And we had not seen another car or anything, and I don't even know how long. It was just a long stretch of road, and none of us are from that area, so we were taking our time and reading the signs and driving slow, but we were in a convertible, so we had the top down. We were playing music. We were having a really great time, and we noticed we finally did see a vehicle. The headlights were far away at first, but slowly it got closer and closer. The headlights got bigger and bigger, and we noticed there was a lot of noise emanating from this vehicle. And as we got closer, we heard catcalling. We actually heard catcalling out of the window, and we glanced and saw lots of men doing lewd gestures, and we noticed that it was a correctional facility bus. So we sped up, got away from them, sped up really, really fast, and we got away from that bus. But shortly after passing this bus, we noticed a sickening feeling of dread, just like a very, very negative sort of energy just came over the car. We didn't know what it was. We all felt nauseated all of a sudden. We all felt all of a sudden like we wanted to throw up. Everyone felt like it. All of a sudden, myself and my two friends, I was driving, and the top was down in the convertible, and we noticed that there was this sort of condensed fog that was hovering over us in the car. Even though we were in open air, it was staying everywhere we went. If I drove 60, the fog wasn't lagging behind. It was staying right there, almost like it was intelligent enough to stay with us. And there was a smell with it, like a sort of, I would say, like a smell of burning hair or a skunk, or a smell of like if you run over a skunk or something like that. But it was contained within this fog. And so we were waving our hand through the fog, trying to get it to go away. But the closer, when you waved your hand through it, it was very cold. It felt very cold, even though it was an extremely hot night. I would say it was about 80 degrees that night. But this fog, this kind of fog had a very cold sort of atmosphere around it. So my friend, who was sitting in the back, she jumped in the front between my other friend and I. She jumped in the front. She's like, I'm not staying back here by myself. I'm scared. I don't want to be here back here by myself. So we all felt petrified. So I put the top up on the convertible, thinking that it might go away. Maybe it was just a weird smell or weird fog that was just somehow attached to that that area. So we put the, I put the top up. It didn't go away. It stayed in the car, contained with us. So I put the air conditioner on so it will blow out. It stayed right there unaffected by the air. So we were petrified still. So I opened the top and we all started saying, we were holding hands while I was driving, and we were saying the Lord's Prayer. We started reciting the Lord's Prayer very loudly and asking God to protect us. We asked God to protect us, and we told whatever that is, if it's unlike you, Father, let it go away in the name of Jesus. The thing just, it did it poof. But it stayed behind you. We could see it getting smaller and smaller in the rearview mirror, but still like bopping, but still not in the car with us. The smell was gone. Everything was gone in an instant. But we were still so scared. We were so petrified. That was some years ago. When we get together, every now and then we'll bring it up. We still laugh about it really hard, but it's always a nervous laugh. Like, yeah, that was something. So that's my story, one of many. I sometimes don't think that there's like haunted things or haunted places, but I think there's haunted people, because stuff like that has always happened to me and one of my other friends of this group. Like, we're always having things happen to us. So maybe I'll share some other ones. If you want to hear them, let me know, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on it, Tony and Jenny. And keep up the wonderful work. I love listening to your stories, and I love to hear what you have to say about this. Have a great day. Bye-bye now.
There's haunted people, and there's also haunted cheesecake.
There's not haunted cheesecake.
It does exist. Thoughts?
I think all things paranormal included, I don't know that there's a much scarier thing to encounter on a lonely country road, just you and your girlfriends, than in bus full of inmates hollering at you. I'm just throwing that out there.
It doesn't sound like, I don't think there is.
Now, do you think the bus of inmates was really there, or do you think it was a ghost entity there?
It's interesting because it kind of like encompasses like a piece of ghost machinery or an inanimate object, the mm-hmm. bus, along with the people. I don't know. I mean, I could see, I mean, it makes you wonder then the power of like a demon or something too, that's trying to manipulate and scare mm-hmm. someone. And if they can take any form, could they also take the form of a bus with multiple people on it? Even though it's one thing, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Not that it's, you know, if it can manipulate imagery and things of that nature, that could just be really an image that it's manipulating to appear that it's all these mm-hmm. people. I don't know.
See, I was just wondering, with the way the fog and the sense of dread and mm-hmm. the sickness came after,
yeah.
if maybe it was something that wasn't even really there.
I'm guessing it's something that wasn't there. Mm-hmm. As far as what it was it, you know, really like a ghost of multiple people on a bus? Probably not. It was probably something really dark, manipulating, whatever to create. You know, what essentially, what's the worst thing that can possibly show up right now to these ladies?
Right.
How about this? A pack of inmates on a bus
yeah.
in the fog.
That are obviously free enough within the bus to yeah. do their lewd gestures and everything. Yeah. So
let's do that, because I think that's almost scarier than seeing like an entity out there in the fog.
Mm-hmm.
That, because it's more real.
Yeah.
If you will. You know, and for sure, it's real when you're experiencing that. You see something on the fog, you know, it's kind of a ghost maybe, or it's just fog or a deer. You know, the idea of the bus is much more of a pressing, disturbing idea. So thank you. We would love to hear more of your stories. 855-853-4802 is our number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. And by the way, speaking of just scary places and things, I believe we've had stories of this, the Long Island Psychiatric Center, Kings Park.
Yes, we had one recently.
Yeah. There's a lot of, even Google it or YouTube it, you'll find a lot, but there's one that was just really stunningly done, and it's called Project Senium is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think for like sanatorium type, and it's They went through this. They had to spend some money with some of these shots because there's some real interesting aerial shots and all sorts of stuff. And then it gets into the hospital as well, or the hospitals that are on this this big piece of land. And it is creepy. This is a psychiatric center that was closed down in the late 90s. It's on Long Island, and it's essentially the size of a city.
Yeah.
With large buildings, huge, huge campus. They at one time had their own rail line. They had a movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
They had a lot. I mean, basically everything that would encompass a community. Once exceeded 9,000 patients.
Yeah.
In this center. 96 is when it's closed down and is essentially is still accessible if you're going to want to walk the grounds. Getting into the buildings, not necessarily recommended by anyone, but people are doing it. It's not safe. It's not endorsed. It's not, I think it's probably actually breaking several laws to do it, but just really interesting imagery. It's called Project Senium, S-E-N-I-U-M. If you Google it, you'll find it.
That place was open for 111 years before it closed and it had over 132 buildings on its property.
It's crazy. I mean, it is crazy. These are not like, we're not talking like, oh, they're counting an outhouse as a building.
Mm-hmm.
These are large structures. Like some of the, like the bigger ones are like massive hotel looking type things.
Sure.
But they were, it was hospitals. But anyway, just crazy stuff. I just wanted to just drop that because I thought it was a really, really well done video. And I love when I find those little gems. I just get like just taken with them.
Well, we actually featured a story on our most recent EPP episode about Kings Park.
We did, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. So if you find this interesting, you might want to take a listen to that too.
EPP 30 or 45. 45. Okay. So when you sign to be an EPP, check that out. That is in there. This really cool stuff. Anyhow, 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Let's go over to Roman. Hi, you are on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hi, this is Roman from Utah, and I appreciate the chance to share my ghost story. So this happened to me. This is this took place in it's a tiny little mountain town called Schofield, Utah. And a lot of people go up there because it's, you know, you can camp and they've got like little cabins and things like that up there. My family actually owns a little cabin up there. And the lake is a big fishing reservoir, so a lot of people go up there and, you know, do some fishing, go out on boats and stuff. So, you know, it's frequented a lot in the summertime, and they do this thing called Pleasant Valley Days in the summertime where it takes place during the Independence Day. So on the 4th of July, they shoot fireworks from, there's an island in the middle of the lake, and they'll shoot fireworks up, and you can watch them from, you know, from the town. And so it's a pretty fun little place, and, you know, but I think there's only 2-3 people live up there year-round. So it's basically almost a ghost town most of the year long until about the summer rolls around. And there's a, so it's an old town, so there's an old school, and I believe the date that is on it still is 1906, I think is when it was built, but I have to kind of verify that with maybe an internet or something. And so one night, it was me and my cousin and my twin brother, and we decided, because, you know, we've all been really into the paranormal, all of us ever since we were younger, and I think it's because of the experiences that had happened to us when we were, you know, kids and stuff. We decided late at night, let's go up to the school and let's see if we can get in somehow. Let's see if we can get in with some tape recorders and some video equipment and maybe do like a little ghost hunt in there. So we do get in. We go to the back of the school. We're able to, I shouldn't be admitting this, but we're able to break in and get into the school. And it's one of those old schools where it's got, it's only 3 floors. So when you first walk in center of it, so when you're first walking in at the front of the school, you walk in and it's like a split entry. You have stairs that go straight up and stairs that go straight down, and the ones that go straight up take you to the main level, and the main level is where they have, I believe there was 2 classrooms, and then there's a large it's a basketball court type thing where they probably do their gym stuff, and then there's also another staircase that takes you up a little higher, and that's to the principal's office. So it's kind of like that old thing where when you're a little kid, you know, go to the principal's office, imagine the dread of having to walk up those stairs, and it's just that one office at the top of the school. Anyway, so that's what the school's like. It's old brick. It's, you know, really old school. And it did say 1906, I believe, but it may be newer or older, somewhere right about. Schofield, Utah, is where the really big mine disaster. It was probably, I think it was the second or third biggest mine disaster that's ever happened in North America. So it's huge. And it's there was a little town just right next to Schofield in this little canyon right there called Winter Quarters that was kind of booming back when. And that was basically the mining town. And Winter Quarters, the mine itself blew up. There was an explosion back in 1900. And it was May 1st, 1900. And the reason I know that is there's a graveyard in Schofield, which we also ghost hunted, but that's not going to be part of this story, where every grave, almost every single headstone up there says May 1st, 1900, May 1st, 1900. And so literally it left widow wives, children without fathers. And so it was pretty gruesome, pretty bad. And, you know, I think something like that will leave, you know, negative energy, a lot of negative energy that will swirl and swarm. And I think that that's probably why it's sort of an active area. And especially because, you know, an explosion like that would probably be, you know, such a quick death that you may not know what happened. And I think sometimes that's another catalyst for spirits or ghosts that hang back and kind of don't know how to move on and stuff. Anyway, so we break into the school. We do our ghost hunt. It's that atmosphere in that school was extremely heavy. Like, it's hard to explain, but you walk in and it feels like gravity just gets heavier, like just more powerful, you know, and literally just shrinks your bones tighter and, you know, compresses your whole body. And it just felt so weird in that school. And this had to have been about maybe 11 o'clock at night or so. So it was pitch black out, especially being that high elevation where Schofield is at. And, you know, we were in and out pretty quickly. We actually decided to leave our video camera in the school. And we left it facing the gymnasium. And there was actually a little table in there that we were able to set it on. And I actually have video still to this day of that. And it's pretty interesting. There's a lot of stuff that we captured when we came back and reviewed the footage later. There's, you know, the video camera will actually start jiggling on the table and kind of turning like something's tampering with it. And then you can kind of hear, if you turn up your speakers really loud, you can kind of hear, you know, almost like conversation going on, and there was nobody in that school. So it's really, it's a pretty good piece of evidence. And there's some orbs and stuff, and I know people don't really think of orbs as anything anymore, but it's interesting to see how they move around and, you know, kind of go through walls and things. So it's kind of a cool video. Aside from that, so we did the ghost hunt. We went back to our cabin, and we actually had a tent set up. We decided we wanted to sleep outside because kind of camp, you know, real camping, doing it that way. So it was my cousin, my twin brother, and me, and at night we're, you know, tucked in and we're ready to sleep in our tent, and you know, we fall asleep, and I think it was probably, I feel like it was about 3 in the morning or so, we all were abruptly woken up by children's laughter, so loud, giggling, laughing, and we all kind of pull our heads out of our sleeping bags, and there's about 11 little tiny kids' hands all around the tent, just shaking our tent violently and giggling. And the worst part about this, and the reason why I know it was something paranormal, was that there's a street light that's off in the distance, and anybody who would walk around our tent, you could actually see their shadow on our, you know, on the tent wall itself, because it would cast that shadow with that street light in the background. And there was no shadows. All it was hands, little tiny kid hands, giggling and just violently shaking our tent. And I was terrified. I know my cousin and my brother were just completely terrified. So, you know, it was one of those things where you're just frozen. You can't do anything. You can't talk to one another. You can't even confirm what's going on because you're so terrified about what is happening. So quick to happen, and you have no idea what is going on, and it's just anyone's ever had an experience like this, it's terrifying. The next morning, we all just, you know, suffered through it and it eventually stopped. Next morning, we all bring it up to each other almost at the exact same time, and we all looked white as sheets. And it, you know, was awesome to have that confirmation that it wasn't, you know, a dream, because I know none of us were sleeping. It was an actual dream state and all that. But anyway, yeah, I think what it was the children of maybe some of the children that went to that school, or, you know, some of the children that used to live up in Winter Quarters or Schofield. And, you know, there's about 11 hands or 10 hands, somewhere around that range. And so, oh, man, it was really, really terrifying. And I do have many other ghost stories that I would like to tell you guys. So I'll have to, call back in and tell you some of those other stories that I have. I've had quite a few paranormal experiences, mainly when I was younger. And I think that's kind of the case for a lot of people. But anyway, yeah, so I'll give a call. I appreciate you guys letting me share my story. And, you know, great show. I just found out about this podcast. I have a podcast app, and I want to thank TuneIn Radio for that, because I probably wouldn't have found you guys if it wasn't for that. So having a great time listening, and I appreciate you letting me share my story. And we'll talk to you some other time. Have a good one.
Thank you for calling in and sharing your story with us. We do greatly appreciate it. That is what fuels our show. And sounds like you had one of those experiences that you're probably somewhat grateful that you had, not because you can share that story and you live to tell about it, but probably at the same time, at the moment you're sitting in that tent and those hands are all banging up against it, that's just, that would be terrifying. Thank you so much for that story. That was a very good one. Our phone number is 855-853-4802 to call in your real ghost story. Of course, you can also share it on the website at realghoststoriesonline.com. So lots of ways to do it. If you like the show, please become an EPP, extra podcast person, support it, and keep us on the air. It's only $5 a month, or you can sign up for a full year at $55. Check it out, realghoststoriesonline.com. Click become an EPP. That's what keeps our show going. Without the support, you don't have a show. So please help us out and allow us to continue doing the show and get all that bonus material, 45 bonus episodes, and so much more, and new ones added every single week. So check it out, realghoststoriesonline.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.